So, where there is amount of negativity or hostility towards women in our movement, so how can we counter that and have a more of a family atmosphere? I think once we start talking about how to do something in ISKCON, ISKCON is a very big organization. So we can always start with ourselves and the people around us at an individual level. Gradually, things will grow. So it's not that you mentioned that in the Christian culture, the understanding is that a good wife is a gift from God. If we consider the broad Indian culture or the broad Vedic culture, whatever you want to say, that understanding is there also. It is not that it is not there. There are many verses in the scriptural canon where I was born in the Indian Brahmin family. And you know, when in a family marriage happens, when the bride comes to the home, the bride is treated as Lakshmi. It is that the bride is actually Lakshmi Devi, a manifestation of hers coming into the house. And I think the Manusmriti, there is a verse which says, Manusmriti, the verse which says, in a house where the women are not happy, the gods will never shower their blessings. So, Prabhupada also says that. Yeah. So there are definitely in the scripture tradition, if you consider the Indian tradition itself, among the many ancient cultures that are existing, that existed in the past, which ancient civilization is still now existing? Egyptian civilization, Mesopotamian civilization, Iranian civilization. None of them are there now. The Indian civilization is still existing. And although there are so many invaders who came to India, where did the resilience come from? For any civilization, the family is the fundamental unit of the society. Unless the family structure was strong, the civilization could not have survived. So I'd say that it's not that the Christian understanding of family life is more affirmative and the Vedic understanding is negative. Rather, within our movement, because of various factors, we have got a negative conception. The Vedic understanding is quite affirmative. There is recognition that there is a renounced order, and the renounced order is culturally respected, but that does not mean that the household order is denigrated. See, the nature of the conditioned mind is that when we make one thing as important, we make it as all important. Yattu krutsnavad ekasmin karye saktam ahetukam atattvatavad alpamcha tattamasamudaharitam. Krishna says knowledge in the mode of ignorance means to take one thing and make that into everything. Yattu krutsnavad ekasmin. Take that one thing, make it into everything. And atattvarthavad. It is not proper understanding of tattva, of the truth is not there in it. So renunciation is important. It's a vital part of spiritual culture. And in general, in those religions where the renounced order is not emphasized, or sometimes the renounced order is not present also. So, for example, in Protestant Christianity, there is no renounced order. Quite often, when the renounced Islam also, there is no renounced order at all, except in Sufis among them, a few are there, but otherwise there is no renounced order. In those religions become quite materialistic. Now, for example, most of Protestant Christianity is governed by the idea of prosperity theology. Prosperity theology means that if I am devoted to God, God will provide me material prosperity. And by the other way, because God has provided me prosperity, therefore I must be very religious.
It's a measure.
It's a measure. And say countries like India, they are poor, that means they are not religious. So the prosperity theology is very negative. So unless there is a renounced order, so in Islam, there are many pious, good followers of Islam, but at an institutional or at an organizational or national level, Islam is very strongly defined more by a political search for power than a search for God. It can be a search for God, but at an organizational level, it is very much a political search for power at a level of community. So the absence of a renounced order leads to problems where the religions become very materialistic. But when the renounced order is present, if that is all that is made important, then it can lead to problems of entirely different kind, and they can be equally serious. So as our movement evolves into second and third generations, now we ourselves are seeing that the renunciation-centered model is not sustainable. There are some devotees who are renounced and they are very pure, and they exemplify renunciation very wonderfully. But it is not for everyone. It is not even for the majority. And as this realization sinks in, then gradually whatever is required for the sustainable practice of Grihastha Ashram, that will also be adjusted. So what we can do is, in our own individual circle of influence, in our own life, in our social circles, we promote the proper understanding of Grihastha life more as a partnership in the battle against temptation. It is not that the spouses are antagonists in the battle against temptation. In temptation, that understanding as it comes up, then in the Bhagavatam also there are verses. I think there is third canto where it is said that when a king is attacked, the fort protects the king. So like that, a man who is attacked by the senses, the wife protects the man. So there are many verses like that, but often they are not highlighted enough. So over a period of time, just the experience of living in the world, it helps us realize that there's something wrong in the way things are being done over here. And then the course correction will happen. So historically, within our Krishna consciousness movement, we had got an understanding which is overemphasizing renunciation. And that has to be counterbalanced, and it will be balanced over a period of time. I can see a lot happening in that direction already. In fact, I would say that, you know, if I had been speaking this class 10 years ago, I would have spoken a very different class. You know, I didn't have this understanding. I don't even say that I have the right understanding now. I also have much more to understand still. But just by interacting with the devotees, just by practicing bhakti oneself, observing the devotee community, we all learn and then we grow. So, scripture is actually understood not just by studying. Scripture is understood also by living. So, as we keep studying and living scripture in a symbiotic way, gradually the balanced understanding will come. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So, we'll have a break, and then around 3:05, we'll join for the last session. Hare Krishna.